this truth of my head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Kenyard Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Kenyard Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It's such an honor to pastor that fellowship in the Denver area and to be here on the radio. In England, there were parents who were refusing to allow their child, a baby boy, to have a blood transfusion. And that sounds like Jehovah's Witnesses, right? When you analyze the beliefs of different groups and individuals, you have to take human nature and human tendencies into account. And one thing that we tend to do as human beings is we look for things to draw a line in the sand and make a distinction so that we could be different, and really the main reason. So, for example, with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't allow blood transfusions for a bizarre alleged biblical claim where the Bible says don't eat blood when you kill an animal. There were dietary laws for Israel that do not apply to the body of Christ today because what they ate was to be clean, and it was a symbol of the sacrifice that the Messiah would give for us. And as Jesus said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And so the dietary laws of the Old Testament had to do with clean animals. That was all symbolic. And if you recall, Noah brought clean and unclean animals on the ark, but they weren't eating animals back then. Before the flood, God did not permit, and there's no indication that human beings ate animals before the flood, yet there were clean and unclean animals. And after Noah got off the ark, God said, you could eat any animal you want. You could eat them all. So what did the clean and unclean mean? It didn't mean if you eat, you know, pork, you're going to get trichinosis. If you eat chicken, what do you get from chicken? Salmonella? Why not ban chicken, too, if it's for health reasons? It's for symbolic reasons, because the clean animals were acceptable for symbolic reasons as sacrifices, many of them. The unclean animals were not. And so Noah gets off the ark, and God says, you could eat everything, all the animals, you could eat them all. And then it wasn't until the time of Israel where God gave them symbolic ordinances, what you can wear, how you keep your hair, your dietary particulars, and so many other symbolic ordinances, like what days you can work and what day you cannot work. And so in the New Testament, we find the Apostle Paul saying to the body of Christ that these were symbolic, they were symbols, and that in the body of Christ, we no longer are under these laws, so that all things are clean for us. And every day is a day as unto the Lord. And we don't have to keep the Sabbath. So anyway, the Jehovah's Witnesses dig in on that one, that they can't have a blood transfusion. And is it really because of the fundamental principle of the matter? Is that really it? Or is it something that makes them different? And the more, and a handful of behavioral practices that really make you different help the leaders keep control and keep an identification on who's in the group and who's out. And so they won't celebrate a birthday. That's a terrible thing, right? When you have kids and it's their fourth birthday and you have a birthday party. Imagine Jehovah's Witness, you can't do that. And there's also the Christian Science group. And this case reminds me of, didn't we have a sportscaster in Denver years ago, Star Yellen? Do you remember that? Wally's been here for a long time. Yeah, Star Yellen, that's back in the 60s. I moved here in the, in the 90s. We moved here in the 90s. So I don't really remember Star Yellen except from friends telling me about the story. And they were They belong to this Christian Science, which is a cult, and they deny, it's almost like a Hinduism, where everything is Maya, everything is an illusion. And so Mary Baker Eddy and her Keys to the Scriptures and all, she claimed that death wasn't real, it was just an illusion, and therefore disease isn't real, it's just an illusion. And so I don't know why she thought that the money that she asked people to give her, I don't know why she thought that was real. Why couldn't she say, money's just an illusion, don't give us any money? But she didn't go that far. But so they would say, well, we don't go to doctors because disease is just an illusion, it's not real. If you have faith, if you really connect with the actual fabric of reality, then you'll know that you're not sick. And even death is not real. And that only works until, well, until you die, right? Then pretty much so. That's like the breatharians, the people who think they're descended from aliens. And they say they don't need food to live. All they need is sunshine and air. The one lady, she says she's getting awfully close. Did you see that in the news this week? She's getting really close. Yeah, people are ignorant, right? There was a cult in the Boston area, and they believed it was wrong to marry or have children. And I remember when the two last spinsters, members of the cult, when they were really old and dying, and I guess the cult's gone. Not surprising, right? So the reason I bring up Star Yellen is because we as Christians could learn a lesson from his tragic case. He believed in supernatural healing and rejected the idea of medical treatment, as do so many in Christian Science. And back in 1965, his son was riding the roller coaster at Elitch Gardens. And recklessly, he unfastened his seatbelt because, you know, some kids behave like morons, right? And they want to show they're cool. Well, not surprisingly, the roller coaster hurled him from the car. And an acquaintance of mine who was then a manager at the park joined in this frantic search for this young man. And as he's walking through the bottom of the maze of the roller coaster ride, back then it's all wood, right? Blood dripped onto his arm. And he looked up and he saw Star Yellen Jr. dangling high above the ground. The park officials, they got to him pretty quickly. They rushed him to the hospital. The collision literally tore his face off of his head. And his internal organs were severely damaged. And so, you know, our board operator here is a paramedic. Have you ever seen anybody in that kind of serious condition? Yes. Yeah, Wally's seen a lot of this kind of thing. And so they get him to the hospital, and his father told the doctors that they could not operate on his internal organs, his son. They couldn't do it. But they could, but he decided they could operate on his face and start to sew whatever pieces back on. So it's interesting that we Christians, we can learn a lesson from this, because this is a cultist, right? An occultist who's acting on beliefs that are not true. Why would the father say you could operate on his face, but not the internal organs? Why is that? And I suggest to you that many, many Christians, now, Christian Science, they're not true Christians, but many true Christians do something similar to this. Because he could see his son's face, couldn't see his internal organs, unless you're injured badly enough. But he could see his son's face, and when you could see his face, he just knew that his face is not going to repair itself, no matter how much faith he had. So they said, go ahead, operate on his face, but the internal organs, he couldn't see those. And since he couldn't see the internal organs, it's easy to think, well, maybe a miracle will happen. And so Christians do this when their car will not start and they turn the key and won't start. And then they think, oh, I should pray for the car. I should pray. I'm a Christian. I believe in miracles. And they pray and they turn the key again and the car starts, maybe second, third, fourth time. They kept trying because they have faith. And eventually it starts and they go into work and they say, today, God did a miracle for me. He did a miracle. What do you mean he did a miracle? Well, the car wouldn't start. I prayed and it started. Now that happens to atheists all the time, except they don't pray. They curse. They curse and try it the third, fourth, fifth time, and then it starts. We have a superstition that runs deep within the body of Christ that discredits the gospel in the eyes of the general public. And so we need to be aware of that. If the same Christian goes out to their car and their windshield's broke or there's a flat tire, typically they don't lay hands on the car and say, God, would you fix my windshield? I need it fixed. It's a blizzard out and I got to get to work. They don't lay hands on the flat tire and say, Lord, would you fix the tire? Now they don't, and I think it's smart that they don't. They don't, well, perhaps some people have done this, but I will assert to you that people who've asked God, God, I need money, will you put money in my bank account? Will you just do a miracle and make the balance go up? I assert to you that that doesn't happen. And so Christians will believe things that are miracles, whereas in the Bible, the kind of miracle that God usually did, took credit for, is the kind that the unbelievers will see and they acknowledge that was a miracle. Even though we don't believe in your God, even though if he's real, we hate your God, that was a miracle. So if we say, you know, so such and such a thing was a miracle, and unbelievers know that those things happen all the time, and they happen to people who hate God, people who love God, people don't think about God, then they notice that we can't really be trusted because we're gullible. A woman this morning at a coffee shop, a neat Christian gal, an older gal, little old Christian lady. We were chit-chatting, and she said to me, oh, did you see how bad the snow was this morning? And I said, yeah. I got up. I couldn't even get the snow off the side windows of the car. You know, the windows that are vertical? It was stuck like 4 inches out, stuck as hard as ice cubes, which is unusual for Denver. Usually it blows right off of your vertical windows. And so she said, yeah, it took me forever to dig my car out of all that. And I said, yeah, I had to do the same thing. You know, some of us don't have, we have to keep our cars outside. And our garage, Cheryl parks our van inside, and then we have all the kids' bicycles and gear, sports gear. So I park outside for the last 8 years. So anyway, she said, boy, I really wanted to park inside last night, but God told me to park the car outside, and I have no idea why. And I didn't say anything to her. Her friends were arriving, but God didn't tell her to park her car outside. And things happen to people. Their headache goes away, and they say, God did a miracle. And so when we behave that way, there are lives, there are souls in the balance. More good news in just a couple days. A couple days ago, the great news of Justina Peltier and her family, the dramatic turnaround in court with the court saying to her family, we've dropped the gag order. We're not charging you. We're returning your daughter to the care of Tufts University. And now they're working to get the custody of their daughter again, which hearing is scheduled soon. And with Personhood USA, working with the dad. We're very encouraged that that will continue to go well. Well, now an announcement from the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, HSLDA, the Reimkes. Do you know about the Reimkes? This family from Germany who would not put their kids in the public schools. And for one, public schools are godless, and Christians should educate their kids, ensure that they have a Christian education in a Christian program, a Christian curriculum. In our country, the government schools are officially godless in policy and curriculum. And in Germany, it's as bad as the U.S., except, well, there's some particulars, like the German sex education programs. We know from reading news stories some years back, they show the kids basically porn videos in school. In school. Now, here in the U.S., there how many thousands of times have kids in our public middle schools and high schools been shown movies, to see a TV show, video, or a film, and it has nudity in it? How many thousands of times? We know of many, many, many. But one listener of this show mentioned to a public school official just about a week ago, said, you know, there are ClearPlay DVD players, so if you are showing a movie to students, if it has nudity or sex in it or cussing, you could just play the DVD in the clear player and then you could project it on the wall or whatever, and it will remove the nudity. And the school administrator, I'll report back to you if we find out that it turns out they were interested, but he said, well, we'll think about it. Well, think about it. Think of all the downside of that. You know, think of the downside. Because these public school administrators are child sex advocates. That's what's out of control in our country. You know the story, a pregnant mom, Hazel Wiggins. I haven't heard of anybody named Hazel since the maid on the TV show in the 60s. Our kids and I, we watch Hazel. It's a lot of fun. Our kids tell their friends, they say, any show later than 1971 or 72, we don't watch them. We just watch all the old stuff. And so, but there's a gal named Hazel Wiggins, and a young mom was pregnant and over in England, and she was told that her baby was dead in her womb. That's devastating, of course. Dear friends of Bob and Yurt Live called on Monday. This is Wednesday. Called, was it this Monday? And said their baby had died at 4 months in the womb. And so that, of course, a great tragedy. Well, this mom was told that her unborn child was dead. And the doctors wanted her to take an abortion pill to start, you know, what is that drug called where it when the baby is older up at the Boulder Abortion Clinic, Warren Hearn in Boulder, he will inject digoxin, which is a poison, into the baby's heart via ultrasound and kill the baby. And then I think the drug is prostaglandin. They'll give a woman prostaglandin and begin contractions and to deliver a dead baby. And if your baby is not ready to be born, the prostaglandin by itself could kill the baby because of the severity of the contractions. And so Hazel Wiggins said she refused. She said, are you 100%? They said, yes, we're 100% sure. She didn't believe it. She wanted a second opinion. Turns out the next day, she gave birth to her little baby girl, alive, beautiful looking. You should see the photo of the mom holding her little baby. And so very often we've taken calls over the years where a mom, parents will say, the doctors told us our child is going to die. He's severely deformed. We need to abort our child. And we refused. And then we gave birth and we have this very healthy little boy or girl. And that happens oftentimes. Now, when a child in the womb is diagnosed with an illness, you know, doctors are getting pretty good at figuring these things out. And sometimes there's treatment. Now, if there is a diagnosis for which the only treatment is abortion, like people get pregnant women get an amniocentesis to find out if the baby has Down syndrome. And what's the benefit of that? If it's positive, then they say you should abort the baby. And the vast majority of those handicapped kids are killed with the blessing of many in our culture, Republicans and Democrats and others. Great tragedy. It's called murder. But if the let's say that it's a negative, the baby doesn't have Down syndrome, the amniocentesis itself comes with risk, and there's a risk of then miscarrying. So it's relatively safe. But why take a test to find out something that the only treatment is killing the baby? So then in those circumstances, you don't take the test. We had friends who were told they needed to abort their baby. The baby had a encephalitis, water on the brain, hydroencephalitis. And they refused. As absolutely, there is no way in the world we would kill our baby. Even if it's handicapped, you don't kill handicapped kids because they're handicapped. You love them. You care for them. And so they refused. And I know their son, he's like, how old is Scotty? He's like, I don't know now, 14. He's a perfectly normal kid. A little hyperactive. But what they did when he was born, they gave him a minor operation. They said it was minor. They put a tube, plastic tube, from the base of his skull down into his stomach or abdomen so the fluids would drain. And they wound up extra, like, I don't know, 6 inches extra of the tube down in his abdomen so that as he grows bigger, it'll just unwind, and he won't need another operation. So it's not surprising that this is another of what? How many would you say? 50,000, 100,000 times where parents have been told your child is severely handicapped, your child is dead. Now, and I don't want to say this to give false hope to people who have a child who's severely handicapped or perhaps a stillbirth. Those things happen because of the fall, and things are not getting better. They're not evolving to work better. Things are breaking down. And not only human beings, but all species of plants and animals. Everything's breaking down genetically. But how many times have doctors said, when it, certainly they could be wrong, they've said, oh, your child is a lost cause. You just, what you got to do is you got to abort them. And so why is it? Why are they wrong on that side so often? And here at Bob and Yurt Live, you might have guessed it, we have a theory. And the theory is this. People who do evil, they like to find examples where the thing they're doing, which is said to be evil, shows that they are humanitarians, that they're good and loving and kind. And so normally these same doctors say, hey, you could kill your baby for any reason. It doesn't matter if he's sucking his thumb, if she's playing with her toes, sleeping, dreaming in the womb, learns her mother's voice, learns the melody of a song in the womb. Doesn't matter. If you want to kill the baby, we'll do it, or we'll send you down a road to Planned Parenthood. They will dismember your child. They'll rip your baby's arms and legs off. It only costs you like $700. And so that's what they say for any reason. So now when they have an excuse to say, oh, your baby is so bad, I can help you. We can do an abortion. We could terminate the pregnancy and everything will be fine. So they think they're the heroes. Well, they're not the heroes. And it's one thing to terminate the pregnancy if the baby is dying or the mother's dying and you terminate the pregnancy, that means to deliver the baby. That's what that's supposed to mean. What they mean today is you terminate the baby. That's what they mean. So they don't just deliver the baby and then think, okay, now we've saved the mother. No, they make sure they've killed the baby in the process. So these are some of the items in the news. In Daytona Beach, mom drove, remember Susan Smith pushed her car into the Atlantic Ocean with her kids, drowned her two kids. This mom tried to kill her three kids. She was pregnant, four kids, and herself apparently. They were all rescued. But we have a culture in this country, increasingly, yeah, there's mental illness. But when women who kill their kids, they often don't go to jail. They often don't get in trouble, especially infants. And so because the Bible says, God says, because crimes are not punished speedily, therefore the heart of the people is set in them to do wickedly. And so the news, Bryan College, by the way, in Dayton, Tennessee, have you seen alleged the Hollywood finally got it right on the Scopes Monkey trial? What a great movie. And a college there, Bryan College, is insisting that their professors teach the biblical account of creation. And so there are some professors, typical at most Christian colleges, professors are old earth or theistic evolutionists. And so, hey, Bryan College, praise the Lord for Bryan College, named after William Jennings, by the way. God bless you guys.